First, we're joined by Michael Schaefer, who spent the last few years looking into the status of dogs in America. It became his business when he adopted Murphy from a rural shelter. At a mere 63 pounds, Murphy was a teacup-sized young St. Bernard. Now, he's thriving, but weighing in at about 100 pounds, he's still relatively petite. Murphy's human has been exploring the newly dog-friendly America. He's put his findings into a book called One Nation Under Dog, Adventures in the New World of Prozac-Popping Puppies, Dog Park Politics, and Organic Pet Food. Michael Schaefer told Ann Strainchamps how things have changed for families with pets.
Nowadays, we project a lot of our human needs and neuroses onto pets. We feed them a very different and much better food than we might have once fed them. We train them in different ways than we might have once trained them. Our standards for, you know, what to do with the dog when you go out of town have changed. And these are things that have helped cause this tremendous boom in the amount of money we spend collectively on pets. 15 years ago, it was about $17 billion. The most recent estimate for 2008 was $43 billion. And the trade association that represents the pet industry thinks it's going to keep growing in 2009. They have not seen a hit in this recession. The growth has slowed a little bit, but it has not shrunk.
So what you're saying is we don't just have dogs anymore. We have fur babies.
That is the favored phrase of pet marketers. And you can see why, because once you have sort of given this animal this different and promoted place in the family, it explains and, in fact, obligates you to be spending money on all kinds of things that maybe previous generations of people didn't spend money on.
Well, to rack up $43 billion a year in sales, people have to be buying a lot more than just dog food. What can the trendy pet parent of today buy for their fur baby?
People are buying a lot more than just dog food, although dog food itself has changed pretty dramatically. And it's changed in ways that are just the same way human food has changed. There was a time when all of us pretty much went to Safeway. And nowadays, if you try to go to the supermarket, some of you might go to Whole Foods and some people might go to Walmart and some people might go totally off the grid and just go to their local farmer's market or what have you. And you have the exact same options in buying pet food. Even, I think, the most deluded pet people among us don't fashion their dog to be a gourmand, but people feel that a healthier type of feeding is just part of your basic responsibilities to this member of your family. And the same goes for some of the other places where people have really spent a lot more than they once did in veterinary medicine. It's just been this incredible explosion of creativity and new techniques, tactics, procedures coming onto the market, things that were once available only to humans. The number of board-certified specialists in vet medicine has gone from like 2,000 to like 9,000. And so now, if your dog has a heart problem, you can see a cardiologist. And if your dog has cancer, you can see an oncologist. And if your dog requires a certain type of treatment for cancer, you see a radiation oncologist.
Wow. So the dog and human worlds are really intermingling.
For a lot of people. I mean, you can't say it's true for everybody. But I think, you know, for me, we got this dog. And we knew we wanted a dog. And we really liked dogs and so on. But we also had read enough of these stories about crazy, over-the-top pet people doing things that seemed really frivolous and superficial that we would tell ourselves, you know, we're not going to become like those people. And what we realized upon getting our dog was that actually we were like those people, and almost everyone we knew was like those people, which is to say we had no idea how to treat the dog or what to do. And so we just sort of copied the people around us. And they were doing, you know, they were getting decent food. And a lot of people thought it was a pretty standard, basic thing to do to hire a trainer, a behaviorist, to help acclimatize your pet to living with you. One of the trainers I interviewed said, yeah, it's become kind of like taking your teenager to driver's ed. It's just sort of a responsible thing that lots of people do.
It's just what you do.
And it's stuff that might have once seemed kind of outrageous. And in fact, to some of my relatives, it did seem kind of outrageous. And they thought, boy, you guys are like, you all need to get some kids because that'll get your priorities straight because you're pouring out all this energy onto your dog. But, you know, I think, and, you know, what made me interested in going to write this book was that when the definition of what is normal and what is expected had changed pretty dramatically in a pretty short period of time. And I think when that happens, that means something interesting is going on.
Hmm. Well, to document this new pet culture we've got springing up around us, you immersed yourself in some pretty interesting places. You went to Pet Fashion Week, for instance. What was that like?
I did. There was pulsing music and purple lights and smoke and that sort of stuff. And the models were really tall and angular and beautiful and kind of, you know, had that scowl on their face that runway models have, except that they were also with dogs who would be in, you know, leather jackets or tartan outfits and so on. And, you know, I think the people who organized the show were very concerned that this be treated as serious fashion stuff. I mean, they had told everyone, you know, look, you know, when you see the dogs go by, make sure you, you know, look down at the list of the designer and check off the ones you're interested in and so on. And they treated it as, you know, serious business, which it is.
Now, you also went, well, you went to some pretty upscale dog parties in New York.
You got
hooked into a Chihuahua community?
Right. I was interested in this idea of how, you know, one of the reasons that I think pets are particularly appealing to people now compared to maybe different times in the past is that we have become, as a country, a kind of more isolated, lonelier place. People divorce more frequently, marry later, move farther from families, don't live in tight-knit neighborhoods any longer. And one thing people do is they rely on dogs for company, but also they rely on, and they use their pets to make friends. It is a common affinity that brings people together. And I met up with this woman who runs a meetup group for Chihuahua owners in New York. And she throws these parties, these paw-tees, as she calls them, that'll be themed around a holiday and so on. And they'll have a spread of food and they'll have doggy ice cream and doggy cakes and doggy treats, and all the Chihuahua owners will come. And ultimately, the Chihuahuas, I mean, they're happy to play with other dogs, but they don't really care. It's the owners who are very happy with this because they get to, they've made friends and they get to see their friends, and that's not that frequent an occurrence in regular life. But the events are like insane looking and over the top, and everyone's taking pictures of each other's pets, and the pets are in these ridiculous sweaters, and it really shows the extent of things.
So now if these dogs just sit around all day at dog parties eating dog cakes and dog biscuits, they're going to get really fat. So then
right.
What about exercise? Are we now living in the age of the professional dog walker?
Well, we're living in two ages at once. A lot of our dogs are getting fat. There's a large and apparently growing percentage of American pets that are obese, and there's now a drug for that. There's also professional dog walkers. That, I don't think, has as much to do with the need to exercise your dog as the fact that we Americans tend to work really long hours and often work pretty far from home. So if you're working a 9-10 hour day and you've got an hour commute on each end of it and you're a two-career couple, it's pretty hard to have a dog. And I think people who want to have dogs, those who have a choice at least, have decided, enough of them have decided, that it's worth paying the $15 or $20 a day to someone who's going to come and walk your dog. And eventually I met someone at a breeder who, she said, well, you know, I used to be a therapist, a family therapist, but I actually gave that up a couple years ago and I'm just walking dogs now. And I sort of said, well, gee, how's that going? And she said, well, you know, it's pretty good. I'm building my business up, but I'm expecting that in a couple of months I'll be averaging $2,000 a week. And I, you know, I did some math in my head and hey, you know what, that's $100,000 a year. You know, she has a very busy life and has wound up facilitating all of these folks' ability to have dogs, which to those people at least matters a great deal.
So in the end, what's a good dog and how much is he worth?
You know, I don't think you can really put a financial value on it. God knows people have tried. There's actually a lot of agitation around lawsuits over wrongful death, and can you sue someone who has caused the wrongful death of your dog? And if so, how much can you sue them for? Since most of us, at least for me, I paid $100 to adopt my dog. You know, clearly he's worth a lot more than that to me. I think a lot of people who have pets feel that it vastly enriches their life. And, you know, as much as we can kind of tease ourselves for some of the crazy things people do for their dogs, that's a good thing.
Michael Schaefer calls his book One Nation Under Dog: Adventures in the New World of Prozac Popping Puppies, Dog Park Politics, and Organic Pet Food. And Strange Chimps talk to him.
Old dogs lie beside the door. They toss and turn and scratch and snore. They fight again their puppy wars. The playful battle's raging. Old dogs lie alone at night. They tuck their tails, they curl up tight. Howl when moons are full and bright, and recall when they were lovers. Old dogs have a song to sing. Old dogs like most everything. They care not what the weather brings, except when it is thunder.